I invite you to open your Bibles up to Psalm 69. We're going to spend quite a bit of time on that this morning, and you may want to follow along. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. For those who are oppressed or threatened or despairing, the image of floodwaters resonates well. It's a compelling image, one that recurs often in the Psalms. In Psalm 130, we read, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." In Psalm 42, "All your waves have passed over me." And Psalm 88 cries out, "Your dread assaults enclose me like a flood." And Psalm 69, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." The image is brilliant and durable. Even today, we use expressions like, "I'm up to my neck in this," or "I'm drowning in this situation." We experience stress and crisis in the same way that the writers of the Psalms did, and just as God heard their cries, God hears ours as well. The Psalms run the gamut of human emotion, from elation and wonder to fear and sadness to utter despair. Psalms of lament express the depths of human pain, dread, and doubt. But even as they are putting voice to those feelings, the Psalms express an ultimate trust that God is with us, even in our suffering. That God does not intend harm for us, but rather will uphold us. So let's look at Psalm 69. The writer tells us he is alienated from those who hate me, verse 4, from my kindred and my mother's children, verse 8, from his own body, that's in verse 3, and most importantly, in verse 17, he is alienated from God. Even so, the writer implores God, "Do not let the flood sweep over me or the deep swallow me without cause." Though he is up to his neck in trouble, the psalmist retains trust in the Lord. He believes that God's love is steadfast and good, and he appeals to these qualities, even as in verse 16 he demands, "Answer me, O Lord." Every one of these psalms of lament was written by someone in crisis. They speak the truth that life is messy, that things never are the way they should be, that the situation is not fair and not right. But they are more than just an airing of grievance. The Psalms are prayers. The words are spoken to God, and they evoke a response. And that response often comes in the form of a changed perspective. In fact, with the one exception of Psalm 88, all of the Psalms of lament end with expressions of trust in the Lord. This congregation, Atonement, is part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And this week, our presiding bishop has called us to a day of repentance and mourning. The events in Charleston, South Carolina, are still fresh, and the problem of racism is not one that's going to go away. We cannot ignore it. I believe it is fitting that we are singing the blues today in worship. The blues is a style of music that started in the deep south of the United States in African American communities. The music came out of the experience of slavery. Work songs and field hollers led into spirituals, which eventually led into modern blues. The blues came out of the need to express significant sorrow, pain, and oppression. As the genre became more popular, or at least more mainstream, it provided a socially acceptable way to talk openly about these circumstances. The thing is, we humans seem averse to admitting these things to each other, at least in our culture. Part of it may be that we live these picture-perfect lives in the Northwest suburbs, where keeping up appearances is highly valued. But it's more than just that. Perhaps you heard somewhere along the line that Christians are supposed to be happy all the time. If anyone tries to tell you that, point them toward the Psalms. This week, I've had a great time, and I've learned a lot about the blues as I've been preparing for today. And John Alabuni has been a huge help, and he's going to demonstrate for us some of the unique qualities of the blues and help me share with you some of what I've learned. The similarities between the blues and the Psalms of Lament are significant. So let's start with form. The blues tend to have a three-part structure: statement, restatement, and resolution. So John, can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So to demonstrate form, we're going to do a tune, a blues standard called Every Day I Have the Blues. It's one that a lot of blues musicians would perform. And so what I want you to listen for is the lyrics. You will hear this structure of a statement, a restatement, and then some kind of resolution. So this is Every Day I Have the Blues.
So were you able to hear that distinctive form, the statement, restatement, and resolution? Likewise, the Psalms of Lament typically follow a structure. And again, you can follow along in Psalm 69, and we'll check this. So they begin, in Psalms of Lament, they begin by calling upon God. So we see that here in verse 1. And then there is a complaint that starts in verse 2. Verse 5 has an expression of trust, followed by a request or petition in verse 6. Verses 7 through 21 contain additional argument. Then there's a curse on the enemies in verse 22. Assurance that God hears in verse 29. A vow of praise in verse 30. And finally, verse 36, a blessing. What I find striking here is this incredibly wide range of emotion, even within a single psalm. In a similar way, the blues, contrary to what we might assume, can be both happy and sad at the same time. And you may have noticed that as they were singing, as Lynn was singing the words to Every Day I Have the Blues, which are pretty sad, and then there's this music in the background that sounds almost happy. It does sound joyful. And John was explaining to me earlier this week how the blues is able to combine those different emotions. And John, can you tell us about consonance and dissonance?
Sure. So blues is special for lots of reasons, but one is that it is able to combine the idea of consonance and dissonance at the same time. So consonants being sounds that sound pleasing to the ear, perhaps, and then dissonance, sounds that have more tension or more of a crunch. So to demonstrate that, we're going to play just a major chord. C major. Sound familiar? Very familiar. That's a sound we hear all the time. Here's something that might be consonant with C major. Works nicely, it sounds consonant. And with blues musicians, they would take that same chord, that same exact chord, and might play a dissonance on top of it. So let's hear how that might sound. Chord, right? It's that happy sounding C major chord, but what makes the blues is the combination of those two things, and really the acceptance of both the happiness and the sadness coexisting at the same moment.
Thanks. So why is it that the blues and the Psalms of Lament both combine such seemingly discrepant elements? Frankly, I think it's because this is the way life works. Who among us has not experienced some strange combination of emotions? Sorrow and joy, laughter and tears, despair and hope. All of these can and do coexist. A time when we might really be tuned into these extremes is during a period of grieving or mourning. But in truth, most of us are experiencing a mixed bag of emotions most of the time. Think about this. How many emotions did you experience in the past week? How about this morning? The Psalms give us language to call upon God in any state of mind. And that is what God wants, for us to call upon him. Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel, ask, cry out to God, call upon the Lord in times of despair. God is able to bear our anger, our frustration, our pain, and our doubts. If you're angry with God, bring your anger to God. If you are in need, ask. There is nothing that we cannot ask for. And there is no anger too fierce for God to withstand. God is present with you, even when you can't feel it, even in your darkest hour. Many of the great blues artists have been men and women of faith. And I believe that they've been influenced by the Psalms of Lament. Both art forms give us words for those dark nights and days of the soul. I want you to hear now these words from Matthew's Gospel that Jesus speaks to his followers. Jesus speaks these words to you today. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. And the last words that Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew are these. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.